Let's just bow our heads and want to pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Father, and we, as we approach this part of the service, Lord, to bring teaching from your word, we ask, God, that you would just direct us, Father, and guide us through your word tonight, Father. Anoint us, Lord, to speak, Father, tonight. And we ask, Father, you open understanding. Bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's good to see everybody that's here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in his body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, neither again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism, that means division, in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. You may be seated. Now, I want to actually draw first from the latter part of what we just read. It is speaking about, well, at the beginning and then the latter part, it's speaking about these different gifts. There's nine spiritual gifts in the body. And, you know, the one of the things that many of the denominations believe, that believe in the Holy Ghost, many of them believe that speaking in tongues is initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. And if, Brother Branham talked about how that he said he saw spiritualists that could, you know, lift a piano that weighed half a ton off the floor and make a guitar strum by itself and have things float across the room and move from one place to another. And he said, you know, a wizard lay a piece of paper down and take a pencil, lay on top of it, and then, make the pencil pick up and write by itself. And he says, and them same people, he saw them speak in tongues. He said, so you can't tell me that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But going by what it says, he said, he was talking about it here in 1 Corinthians 12, about the nine spiritual gifts, and he said, tongues is one of those gifts. But if you say that speaking in tongues is an initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, it's only one of the nine gifts. How can you pick out that one gift of the nine and say that one is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? He said, if that one is an evidence of the Holy Ghost, then wouldn't the other eight also have to be a present? Wouldn't you have to have all nine in order for you to say that you have the Holy Ghost? You know, how can you pick out one and say, well, this one says you have the Holy Ghost? And, you know, and so, you know, and then Paul concludes this and wraps it up by saying, do we all speak with tongues? In other words, no, we don't. So, you know, it really, when you see that, they latch on to, you know, a couple of scriptures where people received the Holy Ghost and it said they spoke with other tongues. And they latch on to that and say, well, then see, that's what you do when you get the Holy Ghost. But when you go and look through the teachings of the scriptures and see a real foundation in this and come to the middle of the road on it, you realize that there's no way that you could pick out that one gift of the nine spiritual gifts and say, if you got that one, you got the Holy Ghost. Right. And neither can you pick out any one of the other ones and say, well, if you got that one, you got it. Right. And so that's not the evidence. The evidence is actually the life. Something has changed in the individual, because we can point to people that can exercise any one of these nine gifts and then look at their life and their life actually not match up with the word, and yet people say, well, because they got that, they got the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not true. And so then Brother Branham goes on talking about this scripture, and he brings out that how there's these nine spiritual gifts, but then Paul also at the end of this, he mentions about these offices that are set in, these gifts that are actually offices that God has set into the church, which Paul identifies as apostles and prophets and teachers and so forth. And of course, we know also that in Ephesians, that Paul brings out how that he's placed in the church apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists, and these five offices actually. And Brother Brennan brings out and he says, you know, here it talks about the gift of prophecy, but a gift of prophecy is different than a prophet. a gift of prophecy, Brother Branham says, could be work through this one individual in the church one night, and through another individual in the church on another day, and through a different individual on another day, and perhaps never back through. You know, one person could work, and they could prophesy one time in their life and never prophesy again. But a prophet, pardon me, according to scriptures, he's born a prophet. You know, God said in the book of Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I called you and ordained you to be a prophet. So this isn't, and it goes that way with, you realize Brother Aaron says about these other offices, five offices of apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists and that. These men, they're born with that. They came into this world with that call on their life. So it's different than the operation of these other nine spiritual gifts. And Brother Branham says here, and we would see Jesus said, now God set in the church, there's nine spiritual gifts goes into a local body, pardon me, which is tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecies, and so forth. But there is five predestinated offices of the church: apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. That's what God set in the church. That's an office. The Holy Spirit might fall on one tonight and speak in tongues, and the other and give a prophecy and so forth. And then the next night it might be on somebody else, and then somebody else like that. That's local gifts in the body. But in the church alone, there's five offices: apostles, which means missionaries, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. God set those in the church. So those are different than the nine spiritual gifts. And, you know, I have talked to individuals, good Christian women, you know, that they claim to have a ministry. And then you bring out to them about, you know, not a woman not observing the authority over them. They say, oh, well, you know, I'm not a pastor or an apostle. I'm just a teacher. You know, like that's a different thing, you know. And but these five offices, it's Brother Branham was bringing out, it's different than these nine gifts. Now, these nine gifts, that spiritual gifts that work in the body, you know, people, I've seen people that they, you know, they want to say, well, I don't see those gifts working. Where are those gifts? You know, what's wrong with us? You look, friends, God places them in the body as he will. And the thing about it is, as Brother Branham pointed out, God might use somebody one time and the Spirit move on them to prophesy or to speak in tongues and them never do it again in their life. Because it's just God working in the body. It's not, you know, it's not something that you say, well, I've got this gift, so that gives me prestige. That's not the way God works. That's not the way that the body is. And, you know, we're a many-membered body, as Paul was pointing out. And, you know, you look at us as human beings. There's not any one of us that's exactly like another. You know, everybody's got their own fingerprint. Nobody in the world has the exact same fingerprint as somebody else. And God has made us all different. And God wants us to be different. And you look at even the ministry in the bride of Jesus Christ today, you know, and, you know, you'll find sometimes some young minister raise up and he wants to try to pattern after some other minister in the message that he thinks, well, you know, he got to be successful and he got to, he speaks at all these conventions and gets invited here, invited there, so I want to be like him. You know, that's not the way to be. You've got to be what God's made you and how God, you know, and that's the way God wanted you to be. God didn't want to stamp out preachers to be just all alike. All preachers are different. And you realize,
Many times when we've had different ones come in here and to minister, you know, and their gifts are the way that they are made up and the way they preach is different than that, you know, and maybe you would get one thing because of the way this man is made by God to present it, and then you would get something and hear it from him, and you'd be like, all of a sudden it would just ring. Well, I got that then. And then, you know, then God makes people like Brother Jewel Forney. You know, there is no another Brother Jewel Forney. There's only one, you know. And anytime he comes, why, we enjoy hearing him. He's, you know, and it's, but the thing about it is, it's for us to grow. It's not about who can be the most popular. It's not about entertaining you. You know, we don't get up here to preach to entertain you. And I believe that over the years that I have seen people, you know, they run around after this ministry and they run around after that one, you know, and when this one's coming in town, well, they got to all make a trip over there, you know, to hear this one. And there's nothing wrong with loving to go hear these different ones, you know. But I've seen people where to them it was more like they were being entertained. It's not about being entertained. It's about what God speaking and working and his voice actually making a change within inside of you. Because what's supposed to be happening in us, we're supposed to be coming to perfection in the Word. We're growing, becoming more Christ-like. That's what being a Christian is supposed to be, is being Christ-like. Becoming more like Christ in our lives. And I'll tell you something, friends. If you look when you started serving the Lord and you can't see where you've grown by the time you started serving the Lord and now, then something's wrong. There should be some growth. There should be some maturing that's been happening. And, you know, you should be able to look back and say, I've made some progress. But, you know, God's made us all different, and we're not alike, and different ones, even within a local assembly, why God has, you know, give each one of them different gifts. You know, not everybody plays the piano, you know, not everybody plays the organ, not everybody can play the drums, not everybody can preach. You know, there's different things that God places within the body. And sometimes people, they get to feeling like, well, I don't know what I've got. I don't know what I do. What am I? Well, the thing about it is, you're a member of the body. You know, look, friends, because I'm a preacher, don't make me more important than you. You're every bit, if not more important than me. I'm just a servant to the people. I'm just someone that God placed a gift in that he could come down and speak through, because his purpose was not to lift me up. His purpose was that through the preaching to lift himself up so that you could become more like him. Amen. The purpose is to get us ready to go in the rapture. Brother Branham says, he says here in the message, hear you him, he says, you know, God never made two men the same. There's no two of you in all the world that's ever been got the same thumbprint. God makes men different, and he has diversities of gifts and sends them in his church. But we want to cramp down on one of them, and there you go. So he was talking about people just, they pick out, like, for instance, speaking in tongues, and they clamp down on one gift and say, well, boy, I want that one. You know, but that don't make you nothing. And Brother Branham says, he said, that's the reason God can't place us in the position where we should be in his body. For one is given this sort of gift, and another that gift, and another sort of a gift, and so forth, but all the same body. But we want to be just exactly like the other guy. You know, I've seen young men raise up, and they, for some reason, that I've seen some of them, they get in their mind, they just want to be a preacher. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing glorious about being a preacher. You know, I count it an honor that God has entrusted me the way he has. But the thing about it is, there's no glory in it. If you're seeking glory among men, then you're seeking the wrong thing. All glory goes to God. And I've seen these young men raise up, and some they for some reason they don't only want to be a preacher, they want to be a pastor. They're crazy. They don't know what they're wanting. They have no clue of what the responsibility is. They think, you know, you talk to them and you get around them and you realize what they're thinking is that makes them something. It don't make you nothing. It's not about having prestige. He says, but one wants to be like the other one. So they see somebody and God, you know, maybe work through them, and they see a gift displayed through this person and that. And so they you know, I have seen more wannabe Donnie Reagans than I could shake a stick at. And that's nothing against Brother Donnie. I love Brother Donnie. But, you know, they find somebody like him, and they're like, well, they want to try to pattern after him. They want to try to preach the way he preaches and say it the way he says it and use the phraseology that he uses. And I've saw him do many other ministers, like Brother Biscoe and different ones, you know, try to copy their mannerisms and everything. And you know, I've watched a lot of these there was one man, you know, that I had heard, a young man that I heard, heard so many different people talk about him. Oh, he's a great preacher. Oh, my goodness, can he preach? Boy, he can preach the house down. He's left the message now. He had his wife get all kinds of body changes on her body and things, and then he turned around and divorced her and married some other woman. And he was supposed to be some great preacher in this message. And you know what? I talked to another minister that knew him a lot better than I did. And he said that this one had told him, said, you know what you do? He said, you find somebody that's really successful, a real successful preacher, and then pattern yourself after him. And that's what he did. But what good did it do him? Didn't do him no good. Look, the thing about it is, friends, look, just be what God's made you. He's made us all to be members of the body. And as Paul was spelling out in here, one part of the body is not, you know, can't do without the other part. I can't do without you. What good would it do for me to be a pastor and to be nobody here? Just preaching to wooden pews. These pews ain't going in the rapture. You know, if God called a man to preach, then what he called him to do was to be able to stand there so God could speak through him to actually do something in the lives of his people. His body, that we're all members of one body. Now, and Brother Branham actually put it this way in Look Away to Jesus. He says, I thank you, Lord, for being a part of this great economy of yours. You know, and in that message, what he was talking about was, he said, I thank you for being a member of your body along with many here who are members of that same body. We're all members of the same body. And what are you saying? We're part of the great, that is the great economy of God, his body. And we're part of it. Isn't that wonderful? Look, friends, you know, people they sometimes they get to think about, well, I don't, what do I do? What do I do in the church? What do I do? You know, and that, and I've had people even come and talk to me and saying, well, I'm looking to God for what he would want me to do. God wants you to believe him. God wants you to let him do a work in your life. Get out there and have a life that shows Jesus Christ to this dying world. You're a living epistle, read of all men. Let your life be a testimony. That's what the purpose of God is, that he can come in your life and live out through you and show Jesus Christ to others. Not just somebody saying, well, you know, I believe Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Brother Bram says, that don't put you in the body. Right. People say, well, I come to church and I'll confess him as my Savior. And I believe in Jesus. Or I believe in this message. Brother Bram said, that don't put you in the body. Right. There's only one way to get in the body, Paul says, and that's by one spirit. Right. Are we baptized into one body? So, you know, look, friends, knowing quotes and being able to quote this and quote that and everything, that ain't what it's all about. It's about having the life of Christ living through you or your life living in such a way that it displays Christ to others. I remembered of when I'd watched a video one time of Brother Jack Cole, and he was giving a testimony, you know, about, you know, how he had grew up and how his mother, you know, and his daddy and that, and he says, and he was a young man, and he was going to these revival meetings and different things, you know, and he'd give his life to the Lord, and he was going home and he was living that life before his mom and his dad. And so when his mother, he kept inviting them to come to service, and finally they came to one service, and his mother come up to the front, and she said, I want what Jack's got. See, what was she saw Christ in his life. She didn't want to become a member of a church. She didn't want to shake the pastor's hand. She said, I want what he's got. What's in him, that's what I want in me. And you see, when you, as a member of the body of Christ, Christ living through you and shining out to others, friends, that's what makes people thirsty around you. When they see, especially when perhaps if they've known you before God got a hold of your life and they see you a changed person, that you're as different as night from day than what they had once knew you. Of course, you know, there's many that, you know, you get changed, God changed your life, and then they look around and say, well, I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't want nothing to do with you no more either. It's because they don't have no desire. Friends, look, there are people born in this world that are born without a desire for God. And there's nothing you can say or do to create a desire in them for God. Listen to the message, thirsting for life. You know, they're thirsting, but there are people, they're not thirsting for God. There's people who thirst for popularity. There's people who thirst for money and riches and fame and all these different things. And you can see countless of people that have actually achieved those things, and what have they got? Nothing. They're miserable. I was reading some few years back about this young man that had grew in popularity amongst the young people of the nation, you know, and he was some type of singer or something, and you know, he was. He became so successful as a very young man, a young boy, became so successful and as he shot into popularity, why he grew in wealth and everything else. And I was reading about him. He was driving one of these fancy sports cars. I can't even remember the name of it, but it was one of them real fancy ones. I'm not talking about like no Mustang or Camaro. I'm talking about one of them real high dollar ones. Them ones that, you know, you pay $200,000 to $300,000 for or more. And he was driving one of them, and they were talking about how depressed he was. He was going and having mental breakdowns and everything else, being so depressed. And he had achieved everything that he thought he wanted. There's countless of people that have done that. And when they get it, they're still not satisfied. Why? And you realize that's all they've got. I was reading about a man that become, you know, he was a movie star, and he became real popular, you know, and he started out, I guess, years and years back. I forget how many decades this man supposedly had been acting. I was reading about this while I was on vacation, and it had come up in my news feed, something about him, and I was reading about it now, and they were talking about, you know, how popular he'd become. And but he was raised, you know, as a Catholic. But his mother had actually got pregnant when she was 17 years old, and this was back in, I don't remember what year this man was born in, but it was years and years ago. And it was at a time where that was a very looked down upon thing. And so they hid her pregnancy, and then her mother and father, they took her son and raised him as their son. And he grew up thinking that his mom was actually his sister, and his aunt thought she was his sister too. So he grew up and he was told that, and everybody was told that, you know, it was try to cover this thing all up, you know. So he grew up with, and he never realized that the woman he grew up thinking was his sister was mom until after she had died. And then somebody in the family finally came out and told him that actually was your mom. You know, and here he was raised by his grandparents that way, you know, and then he became so popular, and then they were asking him and talking about, you know, his life as far as how he did he believe in God and all that, you know, and he had been raised Catholic, and in his early life, you know, had been a very devout Catholic, but now he's like 80 some years old, and he said, no, I don't even really believe in God anymore. What has he got? Friends, look, you got people like that. They say, well, they don't believe in any life after this life. You just hang on to what you got in this life, and when this life is over, you're done. They don't have anything. The most important thing to me is having Jesus Christ in my life. And I'll tell you something, friends. You know, I've my whole life, I've never been a person who actually was, envious of money. I've never been that way. You know, It'd be nice, I guess, to not want or whatever, and things like that. But even as a young boy, I can remember my parents. You know, they were both working and they struggled to make it financially and that. But I had a happy childhood. I had a happy life. And to be honest with you, you know, yeah, did we do without some things? Yeah, there was times we'd done without, but I don't ever remember wanting. And then I look around at some of these young people that, well, I call them young people now. I guess now they're, goodness, they must be on up in the 30s, almost 40 years old now. But I look at them, and you know, there's some of them, you know, they came in families like the Hiltons and the Vanderbilts and all these different ones, you know, and they were born in money. And they never had to want for nothing in their life, you know, and all. And what have they got? They ain't none of them happy. Oh, I'll tell you, you ask me why I'm happy, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And I'll tell you something, friends. I'm glad that I know there's a life beyond this life. I'm glad that I'm not so blind to think this is the only life you got. But you realize there are people that this is it for them. There are people, you know, some years ago before I come here to pastor, I was with Brother Danny Steeman, and we were out on a bay there in Sarasota fishing. And as we were going around there in a boat, he was pointing out around the water these different mansions that was around this bay. And he said, this famous person lives in that mansion there, and this famous person had that mansion over here. And he even pointed out a mansion that had belonged to Lucille Ball. And he pointed out some rock stars, and I don't remember all the names and things like that, but all these people, and these great big places they have down there, you know, and that. And, you know, this is their millennium, Brother Branham said. I guess this is their time, but this is it for them. And you realize, there's none of that that they got that they can take with them when they leave here. I'll tell you something, friends. I don't own anything that I don't care to leave behind. I don't care that I don't get to take it with me. I appreciate, don't get me wrong, I appreciate what I've got. But I'm looking to a better life. And by a better life, I'm not talking about, you know, having a bigger home, finally having a mansion and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having a new body. I'll tell you what, friends, I have so many aches and pains anymore, you know, and I ain't but going to be 61 years old. And, man, I'll tell you what, my body, I struggle so much sometimes and things like that. I'm going to be glad to put this old thing to rest. I'm going to be glad to get that new one that don't have any aches and pains and sicknesses and things, you know. And, you know, I told y'all here before, a week or so ago, you know, I'd been diagnosed with COVID, you know, and I know there's some people don't believe that exists. Let me tell you, it does. You couldn't convince me. I'm telling you, I'm still getting over some of the residual side effects of that thing, and I'll tell you what, I got really sick with it. I'm gonna be glad when I got a body that will never experience things like that. You know, I have dreams sometimes about the body change. I do. There's times I'll dream that I got up and I think I'm awake, and I get up and I walk and I look at myself in the mirror and I'm a young man again. Brother Phil, and I got hair and I'm trying to comb my hair. And you know, I'm dreaming about getting that body change. I'm looking forward to it. And I'll tell you something else, friends. I'm looking forward to the rapture. I'm looking forward to going to that great supper in the sky. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to finally getting to meet Jesus Christ. You know, not just Jesus Christ in his spirit in me, but actually getting to hug him. Getting to fall down at his feet. Hallelujah. I think about the woman, you know, that here Jesus came to Simon's house. And he was like an unwelcome guest. And this woman comes. And she begins to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. You know how they said to Jesus, if you knew what kind of woman that was. Oh, friends, that's what they've said about you, me too at times. If you knew what kind of person that was. But I'll tell you what kind of person it was. Somebody Jesus could save. Hallelujah. That's what kind of person I am. Somebody Jesus could save. Somebody Jesus could forgive. Hallelujah. You realize there's people in this world that they do evil things and they don't feel sorry about it at all. They live sinful lives and do sinful things and they never feel bad about it at all. I'm glad I'm not like that. And I'll tell you something, friends. I'm glad God's made us the way he's made us. We're all different here in this church. You know, this church, you know, it isn't just a complete Southern church. We've got people from all over the place. And God put us together. And look what a wonderful family of God we are. What we've got. And we love one another. Jesus said, he said in John 15, he said, abide in me, I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself except it abideth in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withereth, and men gather them and cast them in the fire and they're burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We're a many-membered body. We are, as Jesus said, we're the branches that are connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. And Brother Bram said, if you notice, the vine isn't what bears the fruit. It's the branches that bears the fruit. But the branch has to bear the fruit of the life from the vine. And so if you are a branch connected to Jesus Christ, then the fruit you're going to bring forth is the fruit of Jesus Christ, a life like Christ. Brother Bram says, how many knows that you've got to be in Christ in order to go in the resurrection? Because it's his body that God promised to raise up. There's no other way. There's not another way. If you're outside of Christ, you may look back here and believe on him and say, sure, I believe him. He's the Son of God. Good, my brother. I'm ready to shake your hand when you say that. You say, I believe on him. I confess him as my Savior. That's good, but you're still not in him. Say, I'll shake hands with the preacher. I'll confess my sins. That still ain't in him. See what Paul said, how you had to get into Christ? How you going to be known as a circumcision? And said Abraham was given a circumcision as a sign of his faith being accepted. And for, he said, as the body is one, has many members, members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For, Brother Ann said, for by one church? No. By one handshake? No. By one water? No. He said, by one Spirit. And that was a capital. That means that's the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We're all members of one body, and we can't do without each other. Friends, look, what would heaven be like without you? It could not be complete because you're part of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, let's stand.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word, dear God. And Lord, I pray, Father, you bless your people, Father. And I pray, God, that you would, Father, be with us, Lord, and keep us, Lord, many, Lord, have work maybe tomorrow and that, Father. And then, Father, I pray you'll bring us back here to point of time on Sunday, Father. I pray you'll be with me, Lord, as I study for the message on Sunday, Father, to bring to be a help to the people, Lord. We pray your blessings on them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.